A group called the Alan Kelly Gang, live in our studio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They are in town for a performance tonight on the Piper's Hut Concert Series at the Independent Media Center, or IMC, on South Broadway Avenue in Urbana. That show will start at 8 o'clock, and so this will be just a bit of a teaser. We'll have a number of tunes and presumably a song or two. And glad and pleased at the same time to welcome you to the show. Thank you all for coming in.
Hello.
How are you doing? Thanks for having us.
Sure. And it's Alan Kelly on the piano accordion, Steph Jeremiah on the flute, and Alistair White fiddle. Tony Byrne is the guitarist. And two of them do vocals. I don't know how many will.
Tony multitasks. He drives as well.
Oh, he does. Yes. Yeah. See, your official driver. You're the official driver.
Tour manager.
For this tour.
Designated driver, merch man,
parking validator, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's what I do.
Semi-business manager.
That's sort of, yeah.
Make sure we're in bed before 12.
Does that ever happen?
No.
I didn't think so.
That's what I'm only semi-following.
Really good
at any of them, yeah.
I had a feeling not.
He's in training, you know. He'll be there in a few years. He'll get it together.
Well, it's fun to have you here, and it's kind of funny because you just did a gig at Cedar Rapids, Iowa last night, and that's exactly the same path, at least these last two gigs, that a week ago we had some folks that I guess you know, Nuala Kennedy and Donald Hay and Mike Bryan.
Yeah.
Quite a different group. I mean, there you have, I guess, for lack of a better term, an accompanying instrument and three melody instruments, and they had a percussive accompanying and melody. And I've always been interested in the part in Irish music, Scottish music, a lot of Celtic music generally, that so much is melody. And there's a whole bunch of levels of art to that, and it all baffles me somehow. Mm-hmm. Not least of which is, how do you all manage to play the same notes at the same time?
We can read each other's minds.
Is that part of it?
that and clairvoyancy also helps, you know. So it's a mixture of all that, but also sometimes secretly we don't actually play the same note at the same time. So there's somewhere in the ether there's a platonic version of the tune which we're all kind of playing around, and so the idea is to kind of spark off the other melody instruments and have a little push and pull. And
the most important thing is that the phrasing is that we're all on the same phrasing, more so than the same notes.
And that's the part where
you get lost?
No, that's the part where you need to be well steeped in all of it, although I think people would know pretty quickly if you weren't in that part. But so a little ornamentation going on all the way throughout, and I don't know how to describe them. But I do want to ask you a question, Alan, just about the piano accordion. Of the time, anyway, that I've seen Irish groups, it's been a button accordion.
Yeah.
Is that accurate for me to say that?
No,
or
have
I just missed all the piano accordions?
That'd be true. In recent years, there'd be more and more, you'd see more and more. There's been a scatter of young folk come up over the last 10 or 15 years, but it's not the most popular of instruments.
So the one that's coming up more is what you're playing, or the button accordion is... Which one are you saying?
Well, the piano accordion, it wasn't a very popular instrument. Mm. It got a bad reputation. It's like, because when you'd have a session at home, you know, a guy come in with the big 120 bass accordion, it's bigger than himself, and it's louder than anything you can imagine. And then there's a lot of players fall between the cracks, you know, that thing where they hit two notes at the same time. Mm. That's not really welcome. In a nice tight session, melodic session, and also loud left hand, loud bass, oomph going on. But the reason they became popular in the 60s was because they were incredibly loud. So for playing for dances, and earlier than the 60s, of course, the 40s, when you didn't really have PA, you didn't have a PA system. If you had in the Ceilidh bands at that time in Ireland, you would have two accordions and a saxophone.
Saxophone.
There's some volume. Yeah, saxophone playing jigs and reels, playing the music that we play. Yeah, that was very common. My mother played the saxophone. And my father played the piano accordion. And I'm deaf as a result.
Well, the saxophone is new on me.
We have a budding sax player over here in the corner. A closet saxophone player.
In the corner is did you actually bring one?
Yeah.
So you do have one. You do play some on this concert.
I won't play some today. I might play some tonight. Yeah. I might make my debut tonight. We'll see.
Oh, now I'm really...
She's been playing at home for...
That's, entice you all in.
I'm really intrigued.
But there's
now,
some... it became definitely more popular. There's a band called At The Racket in Ireland. It's a great flute player, Seamus O'Donnell from County Sligo. And he's a super sax player. They're sort of a recent band that have made, a tune band like what we do, playing all the tunes on the sax, have made it quite popular again, I think, giving it a bit of a revival.
Yeah, and they play a lot of the material from that era, of the '20s as well, the dance and the dance hall years in Ireland.
Does introducing the sax to traditional music bring with it any element of jazz? Because most people, I think, associate saxophone with jazz.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say so.
In the same way that, you know, the violin wouldn't bring with it any part of classical music. You know, it's less the instrument than what you do with it. Mm. Really, I would say.
But so it was a volume thing for dance bands.
Yeah, I mean,
because there's no amplification.
Right.
You know.
So they could fill the hole. The noise from these instruments.
Well, coming back to the piano accordion, so the one that you are playing is not one of those big behemoths that
that's a smaller... there's no need for traditional music to be playing that full-size accordion. It's rare you see them. Well, I believe where we were last night in Cedar Rapids, there was a big accordion club there for many years. And I would presume if you were to walk in on one of their meetings, that's what you would see. Is everybody? Well, you would just see the heads. You wouldn't see anything else. You know?
All turning around to look at you as you came through the door.
You don't really need the range to play the tunes that we're playing. You know, I have everything I need on this. It's a smaller accordion. It's probably half the size.
So why did you not choose the button accordion? Simply because your dad played this one?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I saw this really cool accordion in a shed at the back of the house. And it was a white with all these little blue diamonds in it. And it's all smashed up, and I just had to have it and start playing.
So he wasn't playing it. He had his own monster.
Right.
So you wanted your own.
Yeah,
there you go.
I wanted it. It was a little baby accordion. It was the first accordion he played, and how he started playing was they won it in a raffle. That's how he started playing the accordion.
I think a lot of musicians of different types get started with little coincidences like that. Or, you know, whatever your time.
No, his father played the fiddle as well, so there was music in the house. But that's how he started that particular instrument.
Well, I am curious about some of the physical aspects of your instrument too, which I'll ask about coming up. But I think we should hear you play some more of it.
Okay.
You, by which I mean any of the four of you who wish to join in.
Yes. What did we do?
Anything you like. We've got a little set list here by us, and we're picking and choosing.
Why don't we play Down Chorus?
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
Yeah, we play some jigs, some 6/8 tunes for you. And the first one is known as Gallagher's Frolics. The middle tune was composed by Dr. Charles Lennon. He's from County Leitrim, and he is one of the great modern-day composers of traditional music, dance music, and a great fiddle player and piano player. And the last tune Tony brought to us, it was written by a man from County Armagh, Niall Valerie, and he's a great concertina player, married to very well-known singer Karen Casey, who you might have heard of. So,
the Alan Kelly Gang, live in our studio on Live and Local. You can hear him in Urbana, live in person, in the flesh, for an 8 o'clock show tonight. More on that coming up.
3, 4
set of jigs, I think, from the Alan Kelly Gang. Alan Kelly on accordion, Steph Jeremiah on flute, Alistair White fiddle, Tony Byrne on guitar. They're playing tonight at 8 o'clock on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. For information on upcoming concerts, you can go to pipers-hut.com. And Alan Kelly Gang is simply alankellygang.com. He spells it the correct way, K-E-L-L-Y. As I do, I'm Kevin Kelly, host of Live and Local on FM 90.9. And you know, you're playing for me on my birthday, I have to say.
Really? Oh, happy birthday.
Yes.
We brought you an accordion for your birthday.
Yeah,
oh, you
it's a
did?
Monster.
Yeah.
It's out in the car.
Some Yeah, there you go. The Alan Kelly Gang on the Kevin Kelly Show. That's how I build it, sort of, on online, just for the fun of it. So, this is a shame. I've said this many times. It's a shame this is not a television show because there's some visuals that I would love for our audience to see. And one is that this accordion just looks, seems to me to be beautiful, physically.
Oh, it's a very beautiful looking instrument, yeah.
Yeah, what I mean, it's all wood, right?
Yes,
except for the keys.
It's solid mahogany.
Mahogany, that was going to be my question. Mm. A common thing?
No.
Not a common thing. Custom that built was, for you?
Yes. Not this particular one, but another one I have since. But what happened was I heard about these accordions from a student of mine when I was teaching in the university in Limerick. And the way he talked about it, I said, it can't be that good. So I rang up the shop and I said, I'm on my way in to see this accordion. And they knew who I was in there. And they called the guy who makes them because he lives not far from there. He's Italian-Canadian. And so I went in there and half an hour later, after much oohing and aahing and all that, if you can do that, if you're allowed to do that over accordions, I walked out with one of those and, you know, I was became a kind of a rep for the company for Pietro Mario Accordions and endorsed their accordions. And I made changes to the instrument and the way it's tuned, the way it's set up, different things like that.
Oh, you mean it's actually in tune?
Well, I mean, traditional music doesn't really matter.
I just had to throw in an accordion insult somehow.
That's okay. We like that. It's your birthday after all.
Last year we had a bit of an adventure. We were playing in Italy, in northern Italy, and myself and Alan made the accordion mecca down to Castelfidardo in sort of central west coast of Italy, where it's this town where all the accordions used to come from this town, not so much anymore. That's been sort of outsourced to Taiwan and whatever. But it was quite a remarkable experience. We got to go to the factory where they're made and see this little village where every house used to be a factory making accordions at one time.
Everybody in the town was employed in the accordion business. Since, you know, now they've started to make them in China, of course. So that has taken away some of the business. It's not quite as big, but they're still...
Still quite a charming little town.
20 factories or something.
I'd have never had any idea that Italy was such a bastion of accordionism.
Yeah.
Accordion. You can blame it all on Italy,
The other thing I wished I had a camera here for and could show to people is, Alistair, the top of your, actually the whole of your fiddle, for that matter. It doesn't have the usual, what do you call the little flare things on the...
Pointy bits is the technical.
Pointy bits on the, you know, the general fiddle shape. In this case, it's taken all the pointy bits off, but also the top of it, it's the scroll.
Yeah,
it's got these big holes in it, and it's not the usual shape.
Yeah, no, it's I got it cheaper just because you know you didn't make it right.
Sort of like Swiss cheese, you know.
the guy that made it is a guy called Tim Phillips from Wales, and initially I have to say the look of it kind of put me off because. You know, I was wanting a fiddle, you know, just a straight ahead fiddle, to be honest. But the sound that came out of it was very nice, and how much he was charging for it was also quite nice. When you weighed that up with the sound, so I ended up buying it, and that was about 11 years ago. So I've had it,
and it's been your voice since.
I suppose so. Yeah. I keep threatening to get another one, and I, you know, it's always the same with instruments. You fall in and out of love with them, but it's certainly done me well. good kind of workhorse, you know.
Is it? Does it happen for fiddlers as it does for many violinists? Who, where you? Some will say that the instrument chooses you rather than you choose the instrument, or in any event that you actually you find an affinity with a particular instrument for reasons that are difficult to articulate.
It depends. I mean, your playing also grows around an instrument as well. I think, you know, if you certainly my playing's different now than it would be had I 11 years ago bought a different fiddle. So your playing kind of grows around an instrument as well. Also, if you're, you know, if you can afford lots of different instruments, that's a very nice luxury, and then you can perhaps speak about an instrument choosing you or whatever, but there's also practical considerations. So sometimes you have an instrument and you're stuck with it.
Yeah, you like the sound and you could afford it, and there you go.
Exactly, you know. So, you know, there's practical considerations as well, but I think it's if you have a good instrument, it's a push and pull between player and instrument what ends up coming out.
Are you able to articulate at all how perhaps your playing changed when you got this thing?
Well, it's got quite a low action.
Low action meaning?
The strings are quite low, are quite close to the fingerboard. Mm-hmm. So it's quite easy to play. But also with that comes the certain rolls are maybe not quite as crisp. So I've maybe backed off from doing them a little just because of the nature of the instrument. But also certain ornaments do sound good, so I maybe favoured them.
Is it a softer instrument?
It changes a lot, actually. Certainly with travelling as well. Mm. You know, you with flying and changes in climate, you know, it's very dry here. If you go to the coast, it changes again. So it's pretty even. It's got a good even spread of tone right across it, and it's, you know, it's got quite a nice back string, quite a nice resonant G string, if I'm allowed to say that on radio, and the tone kind of changes with the climate. So sometimes it's really quite loud, and also if you shift the bridge just millimeters, it completely changes the sound.
Yeah. Well, now people can listen out if we're able to pick you out of the melodic mix here whatever we're going to do next. This is Live and Local. Let me mention that our broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. We're grateful to them. We're grateful to all our listeners who support this station with your financial contributions. And the Alan Kelly Gang, as well as the Piper's Hut Concert Series, would be grateful if you might go to their show tonight. It's at 8 o'clock in the Independent Media Center, which is in the old post office building next to Lincoln Square Mall in downtown Urbana on South Broadway Avenue. Nice place to hear concerts. That's where Nuala Kennedy and her group were just a week ago. What do you want to do next?
Somebody called it.
A song. It'd be nice to hear.
Okay. Journey's End.
Journey's End, okay.
I just think this is it. We're going to sing a nice song that some people might know from the great Tommy Makeham. It's the type of song that we have in Ireland called a parting song. It's a sort of I suppose you could call it a genre of song. Lots of songs that sort of fall into that category of parting songs, and this is one. I think originally the lyrics were it was a poem written by a New England poet, a woman, Judy Goodenough, I think was her name, and she had sent her poems out to different folk singers at the time, and Tommy Makeham, I don't know, was it Tommy or one of the other Clancys that decided and made this song really a treasure, and they put it to music, and it's called Journey's End.
The Alan Kelly Gang, live on Live and Local. Mm-hmm.
must go and leave this town before the rising of the sun. Long is the road and many is the mile before I rest my soul again with girls who sing and girls who weep, with all the words and ways of
lovely, a parting song, as it's called, Journey's End, sung by Steph Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah would be the Italian.
Jeremiah.
And in case, and she was playing playing the flute, but also did the vocal there. And I understand it took everybody about 3 years to discover that you actually sing when you first joined the band.
Yeah, I used to sing a lot when I was younger, and it's quite terrible to say this, but I had when I had gone down, I was doing a master's in performance down in Limerick, and at that stage I decided I wanted to learn Shano singing, which is you know, I don't speak Irish, it's the Irish language, and so I decided I wanted to do this. It's a really heavily ornamented type of singing, and it's all through Irish. And I kind of really focused on that. And it's terrible to say, it sort of put me off singing. I stopped singing after that because I just never made the connection with it because I didn't understand the language and I didn't know what I was saying. It's terrible to admit that. But it really, you know, for me, it's really important to connect with the song and connect with the lyrics.
Well,
and
I would think so.
Yeah, so it just, I went through a period after that. I just kind of stopped singing, and I had moved to Galway then, and I didn't tell anybody I sang. And I was just being shy. So eventually, you know, the guys were like, you know, oh, would somebody sing a song? And I said, okay, I'll sing a song. And they were like, oh, you
probably
can actually sing a bit.
Probably my dad, you know, he comes to all our shows.
Yeah.
Oh, you're great, but you need a singer.
Everybody.
Just a bit of song now to break things up lovely.
Yeah. Mm. I was about to say everybody needs a singer. I don't really think that's true, but... yeah, you need a singer.
Oh, yeah. Great to have songs in the session.
I mean, I love the energy. It's just, as they say, the views expressed are those of the speaker only, not necessarily of the station or its management. But I love the sound of the energy of the of the tunes, the instrumental tunes in Celtic music. But then when somebody plays a solo air, it's probably my absolute favorite element of traditional music or a song. And so, yeah, maybe I do feel that somebody's got to sing. And it's beautifully done. It's interesting actually listening to the accents, because we got two of you from Ireland, and Tony, you haven't said much so far.
No.
We'll get around to you.
It's okay.
And then Alistair from Scotland. And Steph, you're actually a hybrid. You're originally from New York City?
Long Island.
Close enough.
Yeah.
I don't hear any of that anymore.
No, I mean, that's. I suppose I spent more time out of the States now at this stage. But I don't know, is it the musical era? I traveled and lived a lot of places before I ended up in Ireland. Kind of probably arrived to Ireland with sort of a clean palate, if you know the...
But by way of India for a period of time?
Yeah.
How long were you there?
I was in India short of a year. Just short of a year.
And studying the bansuri, which is wooden flute.
Yeah. The bamboo flute.
Thank you.
Yeah, of all different sizes. In fact, I was only able to really play a really small one. Most of the proper ones are huge, but my hands were too small. I couldn't do it. I remember my teacher used to say, stick lemons in between your fingers to try and stretch them out. But
why lemons?
I'll just stick with a smaller one. I don't know.
Do you ever incorporate that into what you're doing here?
Not really. Maybe I probably use subtly maybe some elements in my playing, but not really.
But you never break out the bamboo flute.
No, we haven't ever tried that yet.
What do you think it would sound like? Do you think it just wouldn't work? Would it be too soft? Or
I don't know.
People play bamboo flutes in traditional music, though.
Yeah, they do. There's actually from Fluke, Brian Finnegan kind of plays a bamboo flute. One of the great flute makers that's actually American, lives in North Carolina, I think, Patrick Allwell, he makes like little, he goes into the rainforest and cuts the bamboo himself and comes back and he makes these little bamboo flutes that some players use. But he'd make them slightly different so that they're just a bit more suited to Irish music than the Indian. Because the Indian scale is just ever so slightly different.
Ah, so the tuning's going to be different.
Tuning's a little bit different. Mm. Like their third is maybe a little bit flatter. And just the nature that the bamboo flute, it's the Indian flute, the holes are huge because they do a lot of shaping with like moving the head and sliding the fingers, and you couldn't play fast tunes, Irish tunes on the bamboo flute with the holes so big. You just wouldn't have the ability to execute it. It wouldn't work. So
coming back to that earlier question about or observation anyway about all the melody instruments, if one of them is playing a different scale or intonation of the scale, that would be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, it wouldn't sound particularly too nice.
A bad session.
Yeah.
Or like, there's plenty of those.
Or like where, see, Alan is from County Roscommon in Ireland, which is a huge, it's an area where there's lots of flute players. And you always joke that if you go into a session in Roscommon, you have, five different flute players and none of them are tuning. So there's this sort of wash of, out of tune flutes that sort of come right and sound in tune as a whole, but yeah, individually they are.
You learn to love that sound. Well, they are out of tune, definitely.
You learn to love it in an affectionate way as opposed to
it's like a wide tuned accordion.
Something
maybe
you'd actually want to keep with.
It's like our lead a frustrated life forever more and not be able to go in and play because there's too many flute players.
Never.
We talked earlier about the Italy being, or at least this particular town, a bastion of accordionism. Mm-hmm. If you were from an area that had so many flute players, did you ever play, or were you tempted to play?
No, I played. I started off on the whistle, but most people would start off on the whistle, I think. Did you, Alistair?
No, I didn't. No, I just started off on the fiddle.
Mm. Well, I know at home, definitely in Ireland, most people, I suppose, when you're sent to learn music first, it's the cheapest instrument.
It's the whistle.
So if you kind of persevere or stick with it and you show some aptitude for it, then your parents might think it's worth investing in to upgrade to a fiddle or something else,
Well, but from there, I suppose you gravitate to whatever you really want to do, although some people just never quite go away from the whistle, or they, you know, they add the flute to their repertoire. Mm. You do play the whistle as well, like some stuff. Yeah.
I do.
Which folks will hear tonight, I'm sure.
They will.
As well as this tiny saxophone.
Maybe. I might make my debut tonight.
I'm really interested in that. The Alan Kelly Gang are with us live in our studio here on FM 90.9. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. Love to hear something else.
Okay. Millhouse.
Yep.
Millhouse Reed.
Sure.
Yeah. We'll play a set of tunes we just recorded for our new album, which will be out next September, all going well. So the first tune is a Scottish tune, isn't that right?
Yeah, the first tune was written by a friend of mine from Edinburgh, a guy called John Martin, who's a great fiddle player, one of Scotland's best fiddle players, actually. But he's one of these guys, you hear him playing in a band, he gets very, very tight with the other melody instruments, so he's kind of almost invisible, the invisible fiddle player. He played with great bands like the Easy Club, Ocean, and now plays with the Tannhill Weavers. And anyway, he wrote this tune, just kind of a makey-uppy tune.
Makey-uppy?
That's what he told me, yeah.
Okay.
I think this is the tune he was, there was this big, he was at a festival and there was this big bluegrass jam, and John doesn't, you know, a lot of Scottish fiddle players don't really play bluegrass, it's not a, you know, and solos, we don't take solos, it's a different kind of thing, so it came to John's solo and he was kind of, oh no, here we go, so he just made up a tune just to kind of fit those chords that were going on, and everyone was very impressed, so he just kept the tune and called it The Millhouse.
The Millhouse, a makey-uppy tune here on Live and Local. Thank you. So starting with the Mill House and ending up with...
It's a, I don't know.
A tune in G. A tune in the key of G.
Was it in G? I didn't know.
Associated with Tommy Peoples, an amazing fiddle player from Donegal originally, County Donegal, who played with the Bothy Band.
It's always interesting to me that folks can remember all the notes of those intricate tunes and then can't remember the name of it.
It's a very good point.
Yeah, I used to be really
it happens
good
a lot.
At names. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how that happened. When you're learning, well, certainly when I was learning, you're just trying to learn as many as you can. You were just coming across new tunes all the time, in a session or in a off albums and LPs.
And also, you learn stories. It's nice when you hear the stories behind certain tunes from the older players when you're growing up. But for some reason, over the last. I'm getting older. That's it, isn't it?
That'll do it. Yeah.
I think somebody said before, some famous old player said that if you know all the names of all the tunes, you don't know enough tunes. Which kind of stands to reason then, you know? You want to keep learning more and more and more and you just have to kind of omit some things from your head and try and put more tunes in instead of these
names.
Little words that don't really matter, I suppose. Yeah. But it does help when you're putting a CD compilation together and you need to know the track names. You can't just call... another tune in G, another tune in G.
Yeah.
Well, instead of a makey uppy tune, you have a makey uppy name of the tune. I enjoy some of the stories. Well, for example, the Mill House.
That may or may not be true, of course.
It doesn't really matter, particularly if it helps anybody remember it. Mm-hmm. The Alan Kelly Gang. Here on Live and Local, and we finally heard the voice of Tony Byrne. He said a few things at the very beginning of the show, and just popping in right there. I was looking over the list of folks that you've played with, including some a guitarist who's been in the studio a few times. He's sort of a favorite here, Tommy Emmanuel.
Yeah.
And then this banjo guy, Bella Fleck.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah.
What was talk a little bit about? Your background and what kind of different musics have you been doing or have you brought to this mix here?
Yeah, well, I started off playing the drums in rock bands, really. And then my dad had always played the guitar. And in the bands that I played with, I was always looking at the guitar player to see what they were doing. And then when they would leave after the session, I'd sit down and just practice on their guitars. And I realized then that it was a lot easier to bring a guitar around than a drum kit. And I didn't have a driving license at the time as well. So I got into the guitar and I started listening to Irish music, but I always had the influence then from rock music and listening to especially old recordings like Django Reinhardt and different groups like this. And probably because my dad was into all different types of music, rock music and music into the 70s and stuff like this. So I just had a bit of a different kind of slant on it, I suppose. And then I incorporated that into my guitar playing, I suppose, which is still pretty rhythmic going back to the drums thing. So I found that when I started playing the guitar first, my right hand was really strong for the rhythm, but my left one was like way behind. So I had to practice a lot on that. So I suppose what I tried to bring into a mix like this would be a lot more of the percussive side, because we don't actually have a percussionist as such. So I tried to put some chords down as well as Alan does on the bass on the left-hand side of the accordion. And I would then try to emphasize certain beats and patterns while strumming as well at the same time. So I'm trying to, that's what I would consider that I bring into a mix like this, yeah.
Well, I think I've heard a couple of, well, more than a couple of those little drumming licks.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just like little quick triplets.
Yeah.
This kind of thing,
yeah. You can't get away from it.
Yeah, it's really, it's fun. I mean, there's a lot of guitar players will do that for the whole tune, and then it doesn't really stand out. It's nice when you have, when you put it in, I find, if you put it in once or twice, then it really jumps out, and then it's a kind of a feature as opposed to a part of what you do. So, yeah.
Well, it's something for us to spark off. You know, it's that spark thing again.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's there all the time,
it just stays at that plateau. Yeah, it doesn't go up or down. It just stays there, yeah.
Yeah, what do you guys listen for in the guitar? What do you want the guitar to do to hold you together?
Well, for me, the choice of chords is so important. You know, it's... I think probably everyone hears chords different. What chords should go under a tune?
It's true.
But because I'm playing chords on my left hand, you know, I have an idea of where I want to go with a tune, what I want to hear behind it. So it's got to have really good rhythm, and it's got to have beautiful chords, and
it's got a swing as well, you know.
Yeah.
It's Tony's great at supporting the tune, you know. You get some guitarists that kind of ride roughshod over everything. It comes back to what Tony was saying about, you know, sticking in loads of stuff all over the place. You know, it's always your level's always going to be at 10, you know, so you've got nowhere to go after that.
Well, it'd be like playing a tune and having nothing but ornaments all the time.
Yeah.
Then there's no tune.
It would be like, if you're coming to from the guitar playing point of view of it, it would be just like, it would be the Tony Show, which is no one wants
there's
to know.
There's no show it's like awful. A Tony Show.
You know, you could just faff around and play all this kind
that'd
of...
That would be the Tony Byrne game.
Yeah. You don't want that. It's awful.
Three drummers.
Well, just the idea of bringing different things to... different things to the gang, I guess. I didn't say the band, but you're a gang. You try to bring things from different parts of the Celtic world, and even, I mean, you mentioned twice now doing tunes, I think, from this side of the world, mm-hmm. or at least Journey's End.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's definitely, I think, especially these days, you know, with the access of the internet and of CDs and all that, like, you know, music doesn't just go in one direction, it comes back at you as well. I mean, definitely, you know, Ireland and Scotland and some of the other Celtic regions have sent their music over, say, to Canada, to Cape Breton, or down to, not Louisiana, but Virginia, all those areas in there. And it sort of comes back again. You know, you kind of get the old-time tradition evolved out of it, and then it sort of comes back to us again. So we get to share music either way, either direction. But I think we probably like to look at a lot of tunes from the north of France, from Brittany and from Galicia, another area that has sort of the Celtic tradition.
The other thing as well is the bands that kind of influenced all of us, like, you know, Planxty and the Bothy Band and things like that, and the bands in Scotland too. They were kind of inspired to take their own traditional music and play it. They were inspired to do that by folk revival bands over here and folk singers over here. So, you know, the folk music from Scotland and Ireland came over here. Then in the, you know, the 60s and 70s was discovered by a load of people over here, and the folk revival happened. And then that, in turn, caught on in Scotland and Ireland. So now you have bands like this as a direct result of the American folk revival, which was a revival of the folk music which originally came from Scotland and Ireland.
I need a flow chart.
Yeah.
To keep that all going there. Well, it does all feed off each other somehow or another. And at least in your publicity material, there's a point made of trying to bring something new to the traditional.
Yeah.
How would you amplify that? Or is that marketing?
No, I don't think it's... I mean, I suppose everyone's idea of what traditional is maybe slightly different. You know, there's definitely staunch traditionalists as well that would like, you know, traditional music kept a certain way. But I suppose coming from New York, I've always been a firm believer that traditions are alive and they're meant to change and breathe and adapt. And there's no point trying to stifle the tradition and say this is how it has to be, and you know you can't have a banjo in the tradition, you can't have a piano accordion, you can't play harmonies, you can't, you know, put a jig with a reel. Like, so I mean, for some people, even just the way that we would arrange the music or put the music together or write our own tunes would be considered very avant-garde or pushing the tradition. Yeah, you know,
tradition by its very definition is contemporary. You know, you can't have tradition without it still taking place. Then it's not tradition. So traditional is, by its very definition, contemporary and has an element of whatever is actually happening now within that tradition. You know, so it's a continuum, and we are just adding to that. You know, so people that come after us will, you know, draw on hopefully what bands like us and throw into the the mix. Stream or continuum or whatever you want to call it.
Another flowchart.
Another flowchart, yes. in fact, yes. We can have a pie chart and a flowchart.
I don't think a pie chart would do it.
Oh, well, you've got to have a pie chart. You know, we're hungry. So, I mean, you could have a Venn diagram as well. Yeah. They're always good.
Well, we are going to let you go very soon, and then you can go eat something in downtown Urbana or wherever you want, because the Alan Kelly Gang are going to be playing tonight in downtown Urbana, a show that starts at 8 o'clock. It's on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. It's going to be at the Independent Media Center in the old post office building next to Lincoln Square Mall on South Broadway Avenue. The Alan Kelly Gang are Alan Kelly, of course, on piano accordion, Steph Jeremiah on the flute, and we heard one vocal, Alistair White, the last speaking, fiddle, and Tony Byrne guitar. And I guess you'll be doing some singing tonight at some
possibly,
point.
Possibly, yeah. Well, possibly. We do some harmony work with Steph and figure it out, yeah.
All right, we're looking forward to that.
Look forward to it, too.
And we'll go out with something in a moment. Let me do my last little bit of announcements here. I am Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'll be back tomorrow again from 4 to 5. We have support for WYLL today from Peoria Public Radio, bringing David Green of Morning Edition to the Paradise Hotel in East Peoria for its annual gala on April 3rd at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at peoriapublicradio.com. .org. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and coming up in just 4 minutes, it's All Things Considered from NPR. We'll be right back.